Vav Adar Aleph, Thursday the 6th of February, Rabbi Tzvi Weiss, Moshe Rabbeinu and the Big D Kohuna.
Shalom Aleichem, good morning, Yashar Koyach, Baruch Hashchus. I have to apologize, I was just told recently that you really prefer halacha Indian with a little, but it was the last minute and I really didn't have time to prepare such properly such a thing, so I hope you'll have a note from this. I think it's interesting. The first Balaturim in the Parsha, Parsha Tetzava, is a very interesting, very famous Balaturim. The Balaturim asks that this is the first, the only Parsha in the Torah since the time that Moshe Rabbeinu was born that his name is not mentioned. There's no mention of whatsoever of Moshe Rabbeinu's name in this week's Parsha. And first the Balaturim says that because being that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheni no misifrecha, that when he was in Spala for Klal Yisrael, to save Klal Yisrael, he told the Eibushter that if you're not going to save Klal Yisrael, then wipe my name out of the Torah. And the Balaturim says that we know Kilis Chacham, a feel about Tanai is Niskayim. If a Tzaddik says something, even if all the ramifications don't work out, it's still Niskayim. So therefore, this was the Kiyum of Moshe Rabbeinu's Klala, Chas V'Shalom, that his name should be wiped out from the Sefer Torah, in this week's Parsha. The question is, why in this week's Parsha? What does it have to do with this? Has nothing to do with Mecheni Nam Sivrka. So there's a famous voice which he doesn't bring down, is being that Zayin Adar always comes out the week of Parshat Tetzaveh, tomorrow in Mitzvah Shem, the Stalkus of Moshe Rabbeinu from the world. So therefore they picked out this week's Parsha. But Agav, there's a beautiful Goyin. The Goyin says that even though Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in this week's Parsha, but if you look at the end of the Parsha, usually they have the number of psukim in each parsha, and it says that there's 101 psukim in this week's parsha. So the Goyin, leave it to the Goyin. The Goyin says, in everything in the world, there's the panemius and the chitzonius, the inner and the outer. He says, and when you have a letter is we have mem, so we write mem. But when you spell out mem, it's mem mem. Shin is shin yud nun, and hey is hey aleph. So he says the chitzonius, the revealed open part of the Moshe Rabbeinu's name, is Mem Shim Hei. But the Pnimius, the hidden part of the name, is the second part, which is not written. So as if he said, if you count up the hidden part, the second Mem of Mem, which is 40, the Yud Nun of Shin, which is 60, and the Aleph of Hei equals 101. Says the Pnimius of Moshe Rabbeinu has to be in Kol HaTorah Kula. There's no such thing as Torah without Moshe Rabbeinu. He's the Moshe HaTorah. And in this week's Parash even, which a few times our Chaim HaKadosh says, that every Talmud Chacham has a little bit of the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in order to Masik Torah, you have to have part of the Neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu is here in the Parash. But the Nigla is not. But the Balaturim says an interesting reason why this week's Parash. Balaturim says, Batam, verses of Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, then he says, "V'oid the zua parsha medaberes betachsisei kuna." This parsha is referring, this talks about all the different begodim, the different clothing of the kuna. U'moshe hoisa kuna gedoy lelotzeis, and really Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the kohen gadol. But the Chaim HaKadosh brings down into Sna, but Moshe Rabbeinu kept relenting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept telling him that he wants him to go to Paro, and he says, I can't, and he kept deflecting it. Finally, at the very end, it says, Vayicha af Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rachaim HaKadosh says, where do we see any anger that took place, any result of the anger? So he says this word, that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be the Kohen Gadol. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at him, he removed the Kohen Gadol, he lost the Kuna Gedolah, and went to Aaron Achicha. So the Balaturim says, being that Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the Kohen Gadol, and therefore this would have been him, the Kavod of Teferis, and he lost it. So the parsha that refers to the Kuna, the big day Kuna, which is Kavod of Teferis, he says a lashon, he'd have agvis nefesh. He'd have be a little discerning for Moshe Rabbeinu, a little hard for Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore his name's not mentioned, whatever that means. Interesting, I'm pretty sure I once saw a Sfas Emes, a beautiful Sfas Emes, just the opposite shot in Moshe Rabbeinu. First of all, you have to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nisarev by the Sneh. And it always bothered me that Ein Musafrim Begadol. The Gemara says that, you know, if a person asks you to do something, so if you want, you can say yes, you can say no. But if a Gadol asks you to do something, Ein Musafrim, call for the Gadol, you can't refuse. So how could it be? Moshe Rabbeinu played with a Kadosh Baruch Hu so late. He keeps telling him, go, 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 and he's putting it off, and telling him, no, no, no. How could Moshe Rabbeinu do such a thing? That Yitzhak came to a higher life. So I was thinking, Agav, that, which might come in a little later, that Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's cheshbon was that maybe he thought it was Messiah. Here, HaKadosh Baruch is giving him an opportunity to be the central figure of Klal Yisrael forever in history, that he'll be the one to go to Pyro and take Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. I mean, what could anyone ask more? The most famous person in the world. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu took it as an Messiah that I shouldn't run for it. You know, sort of like we know that someone asked you to go daven, you're supposed to, like, put it on, you know, turn it down. Because they're not running for the covet. So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu thought that, you know, this is my Nisayon, that I dafka should take it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed me. The problem is, Kavi Yochalaf, we could say that, you know, when you ask someone to daven, it says three times, then enough is enough. Moshe Rabbeinu stepped the line, so you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yichaaf. But very interesting, there's a very interesting Sfas Emes. I believe it's a Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says that we know the famous Gemara. The Gemara asks in two places that Moshe Rabbeinu, during the Shiva Shemei Meluyim, the first 7 days when they were setting up the Mishkan, Aaron and Bonav were not the Kahanim. Aaron was not the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu served as the Kohen Gadol. Moshe Rabbeinu did the Avodah. So the Gemara asked, what did Moshe Rabbeinu wear when he did the Avodah? So Rashi explains, he couldn't wear the Big Tikkunah, because this is the Aaron Lebonav, and it wasn't given to him. He couldn't wear his weekday clothing, because how can you do Mishamish in the Mishkan with your weekday clothing? So what did he wear? So the Taisa has a little different Pshatim in what the Shiloh was, but basically that's the... But the Gemara asked the Shiloh, what did he wear? So the Gemara answers that he wore a Lavan Cholok, just a white cloak. So the question is, if integral part of the Avodah is to wear the big tikkuna, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu, how could Moshe Rabbeinu do the Avodah without the big tikkuna? So the Sfas Emes says that Moshe Rabbeinu did not need the big tikkuna. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Inyan of Torah, the Pnimius, and Aaron, sort of to say, was mitzvahs, he was Mordechai Tzonius, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu's Avodah did not need it. But the question is, what do you mean it didn't need it? We know that the Gemara says that each one of the big dekuna served as a purpose of a kapara. All the begadim weren't just stam begadim. Each one had a certain purpose to bring a kapara for Klal Yisrael at the time of the Avodah. So what happened with this kapara? And he says more than that. We know that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have been misar by the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu should have been the Kohen Gadol. But if Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the Kohen Gadol, so what would, if you're telling me that the big dekuna don't apply to him, so what would have happened? How would it have worked out? So he says a fascinating word. He says, which really, if Archaim HaKadosh says, very, very similar. He says that really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to go to Paro. And if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu would have been the spokesman, and taken Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, they would have gone out on a Madrega, they would not have been Chayte, and they would not have needed the big dekuna for the kapara. They would have been a completely different madraga, and therefore the big dekuna wouldn't apply. So the Sfas Emes says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in the parsha. Not because it's a downgrade for him and he would feel bad, sort of say, that he's not mentioned in the parsha of the big dekuna. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't apply to the big dekuna. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the madraga of the Avodah. Moshe Rabbeinu, just like we see during the Shiva Shemei Meluyim, did not need the big dekuna. So too, if he would have been Kohen Gadol, there never would have been. So the Orchaim HaKadosh explains it, because if you look, the Pesukim always bothered me, until I saw this Orchaim HaKadosh. At the end of Perek Vav in Va'era, so what happened is, we know there was the whole Maisa by the Snare. We know for 7 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Moshe Rabbeinu to go and talk to Pyro, back to Pyro. And Moshe Rabbeinu came up with every answer in the world why I can't. Until Moshe, the Eibush, the father, Vayichaaf, got angry. Then we have the parasha again. And it says, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud, Vedaber Shem HaMoshe Lemar, Bo daber al Paro melech Mitzrayim. He's speaking to Moshe. Go speak to Paro. Vishalach b'nei Yisrael meyaretzo. And he should send out the people. Ve'daber Moshe l'fnei Hashem leimer. Hey, b'nei Yisrael l'shamo elai. B'nei Yisrael didn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmeini pari. V'ani aral suvasayim. What do you mean aral suvasayim? It's not Moshe Rabbeinu to talk anymore. Aaron is talking. Then it goes on, the psukim. Then it refers back to it again. Vayhi bayom divrei Hashem al Moshe, Beretz Mitzrayim. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimer. Ani Hashem, daber al Paro melech Mitzrayim. Eis kol Hashem ani daber elecha. Vayaber Moshe lefnei Hashem. Hey, ani aral suvasayim. Eich yishma elai Paro. I mean, always, but what's going on? I mean, this is all finished already. So now twice Moshe Rabbeinu again is saying that I can't go speak to Paro because I'm aral suvasayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the speaker. Aaron's the speaker. So the Chaim HaKadosh here says that what happened was that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Moshe Rabbeinu not to speak, not to be the spokesman, and Aaron will be the spokesman, that was to Bnei Yisrael. Because you look over there, it says by the Sneh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, Aaron will speak to Bnei Yisrael. He only mentioned Bnei Yisrael. He didn't mention Paro. Really, he says, even after that, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to at least be the spokesman to Paro. And here is the clincher when he deflected that also. So the Chaim HaKadosh says a fascinating thing. He says, the parasha starts off, Vayihi Bayoim. He says, we know Vayihi is always a Lashon of Tsar. It's not a happy connotation. He says, why? What's the Lashon of Tsar? V'inei Hareini Hashem. Hashem is showing us, Ki hikbid Hashem al adovish lo aso Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very upset about this. Shekol kach ishtadol Hashem in Moshe lasas hu akol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried so many times that Moshe Rabbeinu should do everything. V'ulai ki lizeh amar kosa vayihi lashon tsar. Because maybe that's why the Torah says vayihi lashon tsar here. He said, why? Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have done this, if he would have gone to speak to Paro and he would have been the one, he would have been very strong, he would have had a tremendous power doing it, and then he would have had the power to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Klai Yisrael would not have had all the incidents and all the problems and sorrows they had going through the Midbar. They would have gone straight through. And if he would have come into Eretz Yisrael, he would have built the Beis HaMikdash and it would have remained forever. Which he says a few times in different places. Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu always, when he speaks to Klai Yisrael and tells them about the Meraglim, and that with the Chet and the Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also got angry at Aaron, and he got angry at I, and that's why we couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Chaim HaKadosh always asks, what do you mean? He couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael because of the Meraglim? He couldn't go in because of the Chet and the Mei Meriva. So he explains a few times that because this is so that if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built, just like the Gemara says, anything David did remained forever, everything Moshe Rabbeinu built. Right, it says the Gemara says that's why the Kais of Merabi was never destroyed, and anything Moshe Rabbeinu did would remain forever. So if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis Hamikdash, it never would have been able to have been destroyed. So the Chaim HaKadosh says we know the famous Gemara, the Taisus, right? Mizmor LaAsif. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean Mizmor LaAsif? It's a Kina LaAsif that the Churban was a terrible thing, not a good thing. So he says in a certain instance it was a bracha for us. Because unfortunately, Klal Yisrael was deserving of an Einish. And if they wouldn't have cast Shalom and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, he would have had to take it out on Klal Yisrael. So better he took it out on the Eitz of Mabon, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll destroy my house instead of my children. So, but he says, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have built the Beis HaMikdash, it wouldn't have been able to have been destroyed. If it wouldn't have been able to be destroyed, so then there'd be a major problem. He says, all this is because of all the Chatoyim Klal Yisrael did, so they brought themselves down. And they weren't on the Madrega. But he says, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have gone to Paro and would have taken set out of Mitzrayim, we would have gone out on a flying carpet, so to say. We would have gone out in such a Madrega. We wouldn't have been Chayte, there wouldn't have been the Mechete Egel, there wouldn't have been the Mei Meriva, there wouldn't have been Meraglim. We would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael, we would have received the Torah, the Beis HaMikdash would have been built, and that was been it. So he says, that's Vayihi, that's the terrible Yisoid. So he says, that's, so It's all because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't there, but Moshe Rabbeinu is Madrega, therefore, when he would have been the Kohen Gadol, and we would not have needed these the kaparas of the Big Ikuna, because there wouldn't have been the Chatoyim, we would have been a completely thing. So it's a fascinating idea that here, the Big Ikuna, the Kavra Teferis, the beautiful Beis HaMikdash, everything that we know of is sort of like in a bidyevit. It's like the world is a very interesting thing. Like, and you see all through the history that there's everything we have, but maybe it shouldn't have been that way. For example, which we just had recently, these are the parshas of the Mishkan, right? So everyone knows the famous machlokes, the Ramban and the Sefornoi. Right? The Ramban says in his Hakdamah to Sefer Bereishis that the Mishkan was the Hamshacha, was a continuation of Maamar Har Sinai. The Shekhinah came down on Har Sinai, and it spoke a fascinating occurrence for the world, and the Shekhinah and the HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Klal Yisrael. So the Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to remain a little bit of this Shekhinah and this experience for Klal Yisrael. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, build the Mishkan, and my Shekhinah will be shared between the Kruvim, and therefore I'll have a continuation of Maamar Har Sinai, and that's why he goes through the Ramban, step by step, everything that happened by Har Sinai compares it to the Mishkan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, so there's the deeper Kaim Ben Shnei HaKruvim, the whole idea that the Mishkan was Hamshacha, and it was a tremendous mile of a beautiful matana HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Klal Yisrael. On the other hand, the Sepurno, the famous Sepurno, in a few places through Chumash, says just the opposite. The emes is, we never should add a Mishkan. Because kol makam asher asker shmi, over elech b'achticha. Any yid, wherever he mentions the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, the Shekhinah comes to him. And he says, that's why it says, mizbeach adama tasali. That's all you need. You don't need a gold mizbeach, you don't need a silver mizbeach, you don't need any kind of fancy begadim, you don't need anything. Klai Yisrael was on the Madrega, that the Shekhinah would be dovek with them, and he says, that's for shechanti b'soichem. Like Rashi says, the famous Chazal, that it doesn't say b'soicho in the building, but b'soicho in every single yid. Why? Because the original machshava was Klai Yisrael with him on our Madrega, that they'd be so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Shekhinah would be found in each one of them. He says, unfortunately, we had the Chet Egel. He says, the Tzivah and the Mishkan only came after the Chet. Once there was the Chet of the Egel, so then Klai Yisrael was not on the Madrega anymore, that the Shekhinah should be sure with them. That's why the Mishkan had to be out. It couldn't be in the Machna. He says, that's why we needed all the Zav, the Kesef, and Big Dekun and everything, that there should be a place for the Shekhinah. But it's not really, he says, it's a default. Which is similar, not necessarily it's the same thing, but the famous Goyin, right? We all know the famous Goyin in Mishir Hashirim. The Goyin says that Be'emetz, B'Shechanti, B'Soichem, that it's not the idea that the Shekhinah is Shari in the Beis HaMikdash, and it spills over to Klal Yisrael. The Goyin says it's really just the opposite. The Shekhinah is Shari in every single Yid. Every Yid has a Neshama. Every Yid is David HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Shekhinah is with every Yid. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt, we need a meeting place. We need a place that we could do our avodah, where we come together. So therefore we have a Mishkan. But he says, the Kedusha of the Mishkan only comes from a spill, just the opposite, the spillover of every Yid. Being that Klal Yisrael is on the Madregas as Shekhinah, because it's Dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore that Shekhinah that Klal Yisrael has affords us to have a binyan of a Beis HaMikdash. Therefore he says, when Klal Yisrael Nebuch were Chayde, and they lost the Shekhinah being shared in them, so now there's no spillover to the Beis HaMikdash. It's an empty building. It's an empty building where it's meaningless, it's purposeless. So it was destroyed. He said, but the Shekhinah starts with Klal Yisrael. It doesn't start with us. So it's very interesting, like the same idea that you have that, you know, two tracks. What could have been? And what greater is Maamar Har Sinai, right? Luchas Rishonis, Luchas Shnius. It's the same thing, really. Luchas Rishonis was a madrega that we didn't need Torah Shebaal Peh. Everything was included in the Torah Shebiksav. There was no shikha. We'd never forget anything. From the Psukim, you could see everything. And then Nebuch Zerachayte. And we lost that madrega. We have Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is a tremendous mile in a way for us. Because with Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebiksav, it was all open. It was all written. There was no Yigiyah. There was no Amelis. It didn't become our Torah. So it's interesting, the two tracks. And you have this going back further to Chet of other Rishon. Before the Chet, the world was on such a madrega, it was tremendous. But then other was Chayte. But without the Chet, there's no, they don't have the Avodah. It's very interesting how HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world and how it played out. Like, who knows what, you know, it's always interesting to think, like, what really would have been, or what did he really want, or what would have been? I mean, he didn't want the Chet, he didn't want, you know, the whole world would be in a different world. The truth of the matter is, I don't know how famous it is, there's Rabbeinu Bechaya in his Akdama, I think the Sefer Shmos, which also is a fascinating Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya says that we know that the famous Ramban, the Kol HaTorah Kula, is Tziruf HaShem Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is just Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because this is the Torah is Takob. When we say it's Takob Baraisa Bara Alma, that he looked at the Torah and created the world. So usually people say it as they coined the phrase, the Torah is a blueprint for the world. But the truth is, it's not true. A blueprint is you go to an architect, the architect draws a picture, and then the contractor and the builders build the building according to the picture. But the blueprint is only a picture of how they should build the building. The Torah is not a picture. The Torah is what built the world. It's Dago Baraisa Bara Alma. With the Torah he built the world, whatever it means. But the Koyches of the Torah is what made the world. The whole Torah is really a Kodesh. The whole world is really made up of the Shechina and the Or and the Kedusha, but whatever, however we deal with it. Right? That's the Nefesh HaChaim Shaila. How can you ever have a Makom Tumah if the whole world is only made up of Kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, but whatever it is. So the Ramban says that the whole world, the whole Torah is really Tzuruf HaShemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Question is, when you look at the Torah, how does that work? And not that we're such Bekiyim in the Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Veidab HaShem HaMoshe Leimur, how do you have Shemus? So the Pashim Shat they say is that when the Ramban's talking about Tzuruf HaShemus, there are no separation of words, and the words just run on, and there's all different kinds of shemus. And that's really like the famous Goyin, the very interesting Goyin. The Goyin says at the end of Zayis HaBracha, he says that the Gemara says, Zimachlaikis, Baba Basra, that how could that the Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he's going to die, and then Moshe Rabbeinu dies. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. So how could he write the Torah, writing that he died, and after he died? So one man the Amr says, you're right, it stopped there and Yeshua finished it. One man the Amr says, no, he wrote it b'dema. So Parsha Pshat is dema means tears. He was crying when he wrote it. So the Goyin says, then it's not emes. He can't write Moshe died if he didn't die. So he says, dema doesn't mean tears. Dema means from demai, temua, mixed up. We know from the Mishnayos that if I take truma and chula and mix it together, right, it's demua, it's a mixture. So he says, what happened was Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah until there, the way we have it. Separate words, so you could read it. After that, he didn't write separate words. He just wrote the Pesukim straight. Through, without any breaks. So it didn't say Moshe Meis, because it didn't say anything. He says, that's the idea, that Tzuruf Hashem is all written. But the Rabbeinu Bechaya in his Akdama says a fascinating thing. He says, what it means, Kol HaTorah Kula, Tzuruf Hashem is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a little mind-boggling. He says, there's two Torahs. There's the Torah we have, and the Torah, original Torah. I don't mean original, but the Torah that was given to Klal Yisrael. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, he had to give it in a way that we could read it. What are we going to do with it if we can't read it? So therefore, he wrote it in this oifen. He wrote it the way we have it. Before he gave it to Klal Yisrael, like the Gemara says, Rashi brings down, it was Eishchar Agave Eish Levana. What does that mean? He says, it was, however you could say it, it not necessarily was the same exact order of letters. It was completely different. And we couldn't read it. But it was Tziruf HaShem Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole Torah was Shemus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what he created the world with. Those Shemus. When he gave it to us, what are we going to do with it? We can't even decipher it. There's no way to read it. So therefore, what he had to do was, he had to put it in a different track, sort of say. Which could be the pshat, because we know that lasid lavai, things are going to be different. The Gemara says that tumah is going to be certain tumah is going to be mutter. The Gemara says chazar is going to come mutter to eat. How could chazar be mutter to eat if the Torah says chazar is also to eat? Because in that level of Torah, different madrigal, whatever it means, in that level of Torah there isn't. But you see a fascinating thing that in everything in the world, there's different tracks. There's the matzav how it is, and the matzav how maybe it really should have been or could have been, however you say it. So I was thinking that it's a tremendous Musa Haskell for us. Because, you know, we live, and unfortunately there's a lot of tzaras in the world, and things happen, things we like, things we don't like, things are good, things not good. I just went to Menachem Al-Gra, the dying Lapion sister. The three sisters were sitting in Lakewood, so I went to Menachem over them. So they were talking about it. So I told her, the Chavetz Chaim used to say very often, said when he would ask, he said, you know, when you ask a person how are things, so a lot of times the person says, Baruch Hashem. I mean, it wouldn't be so terrible if things were better, you know. But okay, Baruch Hashem. So the Chavetz Chaim used to get very angry. He said, what do you mean? It would be terrible if things were different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives every single person tailor-made exactly for him. Exactly how your life should be, exactly your matzav. Now, perhaps we cause things to happen because the same way. Because we did things averus, we did things wrong, so therefore we're in this matzav. But right now it's the best. For example, I once heard Avad from Tassil Solomon, so he said that they were talking about Bitochen. He said how everything works out, everything that happens to you is really for the best. So a young man asked him, he said, what do you mean? If let's say I'm looking at a house, and it's the best house for me, it's the perfect location, the best for my children, the best for me, for my wife, it's perfect, and I lost it. So how could that be good for me? So he said, first of all, you don't know what's good for you. Maybe it is good for you. Maybe it really isn't good for you. But maybe as a kapara, you needed this. And wouldn't you rather lose a house than chas v'shalom, who knows what? So he said, whatever happens is really for the best. And Chofetz Chaim said that a person shouldn't think, oh, I wish things, you don't wish. You wish for whatever Kadosh Baruch gives you is the best. So it's very interesting, just to massage with a story, a very interesting mice that happened, they bring down with the Chofetz Chaim, that there was once a bacher who learned in Raden, who was a tremendous masmid and gewaldig a kop, and he was steiging. He got married, and he went, and his shver was holding him out. He lived by the shver for years and years, and he was steiging, tremendous. All of a sudden, one day, Ahu Yoimer, the shver comes in and says, you know, enough's enough. You know, Baruch Hashem, the family grew. I can't do this anymore. You have to start taking care of yourself. Okay, so he went out, started a little business. But, you know, there's people in the business who are business for years with capital and they're doing well. He's like, so one day he wakes up, he says, this doesn't make any sense. Nishtalim haza, nishtalim haba. I don't have a good panasa. I'm not learning. Well, this doesn't make any sense. So he says, you know what? I'm going to go buy a lottery ticket. If I win the lottery, so then I can sit and learn. I can find a starter. I can help Aniyam. I can do so much. So, but there's a little problem. It's not so easy to win the lottery. So what do? He said, I'll go to the Chofetz Chaim. If the Heilige Chofetz Chaim gives me a bracha, what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly has to answer him. And what else would the Chofetz Chaim want more than his Talmud to be able to sit and learn and to find his yeshiva and help Aniyim and be able to Ataras HaKadosh? What could be better? So he says, okay, he's going to go to Raden, that's the Chofetz Chaim for bracha. So he comes into town in the street, he meets one of his old chaverim. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, what's doing? What are you doing here? So he tells him, he says, no. Do me a favor. Don't tell the Chofetz Chaim what you want. Chofetz Chaim gets very upset that people want to make fast money. He says, just go in for a bracha. Okay, so he goes into him, he takes his hand in his two warm hands, gives him a beautiful bracha that he should have a nachas and gezunt and atzlocha, and he should, you know, Torah and mitzvahs and all things. He says, he's thinking to himself, that's not why I came. But I'm not going to say anything. I'll stay overnight. When I go to say goodbye tomorrow, hopefully it will work. He comes in the next morning. Chofetz Chaim says goodbye to him. You should be benched. You should have nachas. He's frozen in his feet. He says, well, I'm not leaving here until I get what I came. I came for this. So Chofetz Chaim looks at him. And first he tells him this thing about that when people say things were not so bad, if things would be better. He says, you know, people come to me for etzas. They don't want my etza. They want me to agree with what they want. He said, I gave you the best bracha possible for a person to have. To have nachas from your children. Go home and have nachas from your children. So this is said that Baruch Hashem, the Eibushter loves us. He loves us more than we love ourselves. And He only wants the best for us. And Baruch Hashem, we should talk about Zaycha. That we should all be gebenched. Gezunt and nachas and hatzlocha and bracha and simchas. And we should be Zaycha to attack the binyan Beis HaMikdash with the fairs with Moshe Rabbeinu. with all the tzaddikim and the gedolim and Mashiach's kingdom.